Welcome to Mean Green Nation podcast episode number 4. This week, Bill Clinton, roster movements, transfers, and Old Dominion to Conference USA. Does it matter? Find us on iTunes, and when you do, leave us a review. It, you know, helps grow the show and whatnot. Anyway, here's the show.
Yeah.
All right, so we're on episode 4, and that means 3 weeks that you've been here. Tony, who you can find on Twitter at
BSTN Sports Fan 3.
Sweet. Yeah, and you can find me, yes. Mean Green Nation, on Twitter, or AztecSkin on Twitter. If you want to follow me talking about, like, the Spurs game. Like, yesterday, I went to the Spurs game yesterday. Tickets were only $15, man. Like, but they
really?
Were, like, yeah, the highest seat up in the building, though. But it was still cool.
You can't get a seat in Boston for, like, under
$100. Oh, yeah, I bet. Yeah, and, like, you know, I think some people were like, geez, they're really good team. It's kind of hard to complain about the Spurs and be like, oh, we're not getting any respect when we're selling out playoff or selling playoff tickets for $15 on StubHub. So, whatever. Anyway, so this is the Mean Green Nation podcast, as I will have mentioned. So today we got some things going on. It's not a big. This is not a big news time of the year. You know, it's May. Everybody's mostly concerned about graduating. Yeah, shout out to everybody that graduated, the new alums out there.
Yeah.
They're concerned about where they're going to go for the summer, what they're going to do next year for athletes, what they're going to do next season for recent grads, where in the hell they're going to work, et cetera, et cetera. So the biggest news that we have are like the transfers. We got John Odo officially being released. He doesn't know where he's going to go, but we do know that he's not
going to
go.
Looks like he's going to LSU.
Yeah. We do know that he's not going to any Conference USA teams or any Sun Belt teams. We got Reggie Pegram. He transferred in from Purdue. So he has like a hardship waiver. We got Darius Terrell coming in. Which of those guys you want to like jump on and talk about? And notice that I knew everybody's name and I didn't change their first name like I did last week.
That was good. I think you actually got some sleep before the podcast.
Yeah, I did. I did.
That's very good. We can talk about Odo first. To me, you know, it's not surprising at all that they released him. There was some people going around saying, oh, why release him? Why not just, you know, like, hold him hostage and keep him in the program? That's a horrible move. If he doesn't want to be here, there's absolutely no need for him to be on this team in any way, shape, or form. And it absolutely kills you in recruiting circles if you're known as the team that doesn't let players be released, a la Wisconsin. So.
Yeah, and especially, you know, like, when we've had so much, like, that's kind of how we, you know, that's how we got Tony Mitchell, that's how we got, you know, a couple of the football guys, that's how we got Georgia Dufua, that's how we've gotten players, you know what I mean? So we can't be like, yeah, you can come here on a transfer, but you can't leave, you know? We can't be Hotel California.
Sorry, you can't go anywhere.
UNT edition, yeah. So, yeah, like, I think Brett Vito, I just read it just, oh, I was kind of reading it right now. He said something similar, like, you can't really do that. So, yeah, I don't really see the problem. It's good for him. Is he really going to be competing with us at LSU? Or are we going to, like, match up and he's going to keep us, you know, eliminate us? Maybe, but it's not likely. I can definitely see, like, him not, restricting him from going to any of the Sun Belt teams or the Conference USA teams, because we're going to be playing them going forward, so. I totally understand that.
Rumor has it we might be playing LSU again this year in LSU again.
Yeah.
I believe that deal was a 2-for-1. So we went there, they came here, and we go back there again.
That's one game. Like I don't really care.
And I'm not worried about that at all. And then supposedly they're not going to be on our schedule again for quite a while. So I mean, who knows? Maybe Johnny will add us every once in a while or whatever, but. I really don't know. I doubt it. So, yeah, it's not a big deal to me. I think, you know, it's commonplace to not allow him to transfer within the conference. And, of course, UNT is kind of in a funny situation because they're kind of in two conferences right now in a way. So you got to ban them from both.
Which kind of sucks for him. I mean, you know, like, it really does limit his options. Like, I can get the, like you said, like, I can get the one conference, which has, what, like, 10, 12 teams, but two conferences, which potentially was, like, what, like, what's that total out to, like, 24 teams that he can't go to? Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Pretty much. Yeah, but I don't think he's hurting for offers. I mean,
yeah, that's
the other part. I read, you know, I live in Arkansas. I read something on the Arkansas fan base board about how they really want him. And how LSU wants them, and you know, so I think there's some SEC teams that are looking at them. I'm sure there's going to be some other teams that would give them offers too. And, I think he's a good player, but I think there's academic issues that a lot of people are worried about, and
there's so just comfort issues. Like, he's having a hard time transitioning anyway, and the one staff that he was comfortable with left.
Yeah.
So yeah,
a lot of people don't realize he's only been in this country for 2 years.
Yeah,
so he doesn't speak a ton of English, and he's not really comfortable around people other than where he is right now.
Yeah.
And like you said, he was very comfortable with that former UNT staff. And so to me, I think he's going to go to LSU. Why not? He's comfortable with those guys. It just makes the most sense. They have 3 scholarships open right now. So
yeah,
it doesn't make any sense for him not to go there.
So, again, I think we did a good thing by scooping up Keith Coleman and P.J. Hardwick. Or Harwick.
Damn right.
Yeah. Notice I had to slow down and make sure I didn't trip over that again. I was thinking about it on the way home from work. I was like, yeah, I can't believe that I called Eric Coleman. Oh, crap, what is his name again? Yeah, I was making that same mistake. I'm ridiculous, man. I'm ridiculous. Okay, Reggie Pegram, transferred from Purdue. He's a running back, 5'10", 215 pounds. Started there a couple years. Oh, not started there. Played a couple years for Purdue. Scored a couple touchdowns. Had a couple, you know, had like 109 yards or something like that, I think. Right. Most important out of this is that he's not, like, he has a former connection to UNT. Yeah, he had, like, his cousin and, what was it, like, his brother? Something.
Something like that. His cousin, one of his cousins is Brandon Kennedy
from
our Vaunt defense in our Sun Belt Championship days.
Yeah. And so he kind of wants to come back home. He's, like, applying for a medical hardship waiver because his mother, right, has, like, a heart condition. He wants to be closer. I can certainly understand that. Yeah. So, you know, bad news is that UNT has a terrible track record in getting these guys and getting waivers approved and things. Mm-hmm. But what do you think of the transfer? And then, you know, what do you think of the chances of him getting the waiver?
Well, I mean, I think anytime you bring a guy in from a bigger program, I think outside perception wise, it does nothing but help. I think if you this Big 12 kid's coming to North Texas, and hey, this Big 10 kid coming to North Texas, and everything. I mean, that does nothing but make North Texas look better.
Right.
So on that front, it's fine. Now he's coming in as a running back. I think we have something like 5 other running backs already on the depth chart. So it'll be interesting to see where he fits in. It'll be interesting to see if, you know, if they maybe try to bulk him up and make him more of like a fullback, or if they try to, you know, I've heard some rumors about people saying, well, maybe he can learn how to play like cornerback or safety because we're so depleted over there. But the thing with me is he's only 5'10".
Yeah.
I don't know how many defensive backs you want that are 5'10" that are going to be running around. I think of, you know, a good size cornerback or safety being 6'1", 6'2". And
yeah, so, I think if you, I don't know about, like, you know, moving guys around. I think it's easier to move like a wide receiver to cornerback or like a running back to wide receiver. But it's hard to go like, all right, you play a running back, now you're gonna play a wide receiver. You know what I mean? I mean, play cornerback or safety or something like that. Like, it would have to be in his, you know, like his, like he had to have like played that before or something, I think. For him to be effective, you know, maybe he learns the moves and he learns the steps, but his heart's not in it. You know what I mean? Like, he really doesn't want to go out there and start hitting people. He wants to be, you know, scoring touchdowns and running the ball. So, like, I'd say, you know, although that would be, and especially since he only has a couple years left, I think you stick him at running back, and I think that the benefit is this here. Like, you got Jeremy Brown, Brandon Byrd, Antoine Jimerson.
Mm-hmm.
That was Zach Whitfield also. Yeah, so, like, you know, yeah, they're you have all these guys there, and you got a lot of young guys, and then one guy that's like kind of, you know, the one experienced guy in Brandon Bird. I think you can get Pegram out there, at least to just show him, you know, show him how to compete. He's played in the Big Ten, you know what I mean? Like, Purdue's not really known for their dominating rushing game or anything like that, but you know, he's a Big Ten talent, and that says something, you know what I mean? I guess the counter argument would be that, well, like, you look at Tyler Shadford, he didn't really do much, did he? And, you know, a couple other guys transferred, didn't really do a whole lot, and they just kind of, you know, disappeared. What are the chances that he's, you know, like a legit dude and makes an impact, you think, even like in his senior year or something?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure exactly what he's going to do. If I remember right, he came from kind of a small high school. He was only a two-star recruit. He's not like some four or five star recruit like the Texas kid is that we'll get into in a minute. He's a two star recruit. He's going to be about the same kind of recruit that we already have on this team right now, anyways. Like you said, though, he brings some experience. He did play in the Big Ten last year, and you know, maybe that'll help him. Maybe the Sun Belt or Conference USA or whatever he ends up playing in will be a little bit, you know, slower to him or something on the field, and we'll see. The thing with the hardship waiver, I don't know if it'll get granted. Like you said, North Texas has never had luck with that. I think, didn't we have, like, yeah, we had Roger Franklin. That was the only hardship waiver that I've ever recalled the NCAA actually granting for North Texas. Everybody's like, oh, no, there's no way we'll get it because they never give it to us because we're North Texas. And, you know, they finally gave us one. And so, I don't know. I don't think they'll give us two in a row. But, you know, you never know. I mean, if he does have a legit case, I don't know how sick his mother is or, you know, anything like that. But if he has a legit case, if he has a legit case, I don't see why they shouldn't let him play. I mean, it's not like he's coming into a role on the team that's completely depleted and that he's going to be an immediate starter. So I don't see why the NCAA wouldn't let him play there, but you never know.
Yeah, it only makes sense. But since when has the NCAA made sense, right?
Never.
Yeah. A quick addendum to that Odo talk. Looks like Vito just posted this an hour ago, I guess. Jeez, I missed it. He says UNT changed its stance about releasing Hill College Center John Odo to LSU today. UNT officials were previously on record as saying they would not release Odo to the school that hired away Johnny Jones and his staff. Benford said he came down to talk to his players, who said they didn't want a player on the roster who did not want to be there. I have no issue with releasing him to LSU, Benford said. Johnny, LSU assistant coach Sean Forrest, and those guys recruited him. He feels comfortable with them. So,
That pretty much means he's going to LSU.
Yeah.
In not so layman's terms. But, I mean, I think it's quite obvious he's going to LSU. And, you know, Johnny said, oh, you know, I never contacted him while he was, you know, still under scholarship with North Texas. I wouldn't do that. Right. And, you know, I trust Johnny Jones. He's a good guy, and I don't think he would. But, you know, as soon as that release paper comes flying through the fax machine on Odo, I expect Johnny Jones to be at his doorstep. Ready to give him a letter of intent.
Hey,
so.
Remember me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, like, and the biggest recruit is Darius Terrell from Texas. Leaving Texas, coming here. He played tight end. He was recruited. He was a wide receiver, but he was recruited as a tight end. And Texas kind of has, like, a history of doing that. I think I was reading about Darius Terrell and how they kind of felt like he's, like, the last of that kind of, that thinking of recruiting for University of Texas. Where they'd recruit, like, you know, former wide receivers and try to convert them, thinking that, like, oh, yeah, if it works out, we'll have, like, you know, we'll have, like Jermichael Finley was recruited like that, you know. He plays for the Packers, right? Anyway, so he's 6'3". He weighs about, like, 238 pounds, but he's looking to get down to, like, 215 by the fall. Mm-hmm. Apparently he's lost the step or something just because he's been so big. But, like Brett Vito said, I don't necessarily think that's a big deal. He doesn't need to have elite speed to have good speed, like effective speed here in Conference USA and the Sun Belt. Your thoughts?
I mean, anytime you can bring a four-star recruit and a guy that was the 46th ranked receiver in the country coming out of his high school class, I don't think it hurts. I mean, we've always kind of lacked for tall receivers at North Texas.
Right.
We've always had guys that were 5'10", 6 feet, you know, stuff like that. And now you take these the freshman kids, I think his name is Chaz Simpson. Let's call it Chaz something.
Yeah,
that's coming in. Samson, that's it, Chaz Samson. That's coming in, and he's like 6'3". And then maybe if you add Terrell on the other side of him, you got all of a sudden you got two legit 6'3" receivers, and then you're adding, you know, you still got Delgado and Bynes and some of your other really good receivers. Yeah, Breland Chancellor, and then I heard who was it had a really good spring game, Teagarden. Or what's his name? You know, kind of doing that West Walker.
Yeah,
doing that little West Walker slot thing. So, all of a sudden you're starting to look at a really formidable wide receiver group, and who knows if Terrell's going to get his speed back. But like Vito said, you know, speed in the Big 12 is different than speed in the Sun Belt.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, you know, Texas gets those guys. They get the big, tall, fast guy, because he was big, tall, and fast, you know? And he had good speed at DeSoto from what I hear. I haven't seen like a 40 time or anything like that, but like any of those things, those are, you know, there's like, you know, track speed and short speed. And then there's like, you know, football speed. You know, I talked about that a lot, but this is how we're going to get these guys, you know, like the guys that have the total package that are big, strong, and fast. We usually get like either one or two of those other things. Like, oh yeah, he's big and tall, but he's slow. Or he's like really fast, but he's short. You know, like those kinds of things. Like the only schools, the big time schools get the ones with all the, you know, all the tools.
The complete package.
Yeah, complete package. So it's nice. It's pretty much what it is here. I think probably the biggest and most effective transfer is going to be Marcus Trice, the former Oklahoma guy's. The, you know, playing defense back there, mostly because he's filling in at a position of need. I don't know, like I don't know how effective Darius Terrell is going to be at wide receiver, and we likely won't know for a year or two. And you know, like same thing with Reggie Pegram coming in, where he's, you know, at best, what is he going to do? Like the world's kind of different now, you know, like you don't necessarily need one receiver that's not going to change the game unless he's like a very exceptional kind of guy, like the Oklahoma State guy. I can't even think of his name. Blackman, Justin Blackman.
Yeah.
But you know, like, and you know, the, I don't think Darius Terrell is that guy. He might be. I know Justin Blackman kind of. He was like an unheralded recruit coming out of high school. Also, I think he was like a good JUCO guy too. I'm just talking way out of my league here. But. Yeah, you know, like, what I'm trying to say here is that, like, football has changed, and I think everybody tries to spread it around a lot more. I mean, you even look at Oregon, you know, like, they have, like, two or three, like, running backs that could step up and, you know, and dominate. And the guy that left, although he was really good, they have a couple guys back there, some burners, that are probably going to make him not be missed, is what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know, it's like, we don't need an every down kind of back. And so the fact that we don't have one, means very little right now because football has changed. And so,
yeah,
I don't know. It's good to have talent, but I think I'd rather have like a really awesome offensive lineman come in than a skill position.
Yeah. Well, I'll say with North Texas,
so many more, it's really, you know, like, I guess I'd rather have like five, like really solid 3-star guys and one, you know, 4-star guy in football.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I mean, the game's definitely changed a lot in the last 10, 15 years, but I think North Texas, you know, under McCarney is changing a lot too. We're going from a complete spread offense. And I mean, we're always going to keep some form of the spread, I guess, with, you know, at least with Canales there, but McCarney's a very kind of ground and pound, run the ball kind of guy. And, you know, defense first, run the ball, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I can see, I can understand why he wants to bring in a bunch of running backs. I mean, if you can have 2, 3, or 4 running backs that are capable of coming in and have a fresh back in there almost every down, I mean, you're doing nothing but good for your team. You can help. They can always help block. They can always go out and catch passes on passing plays and everything else like that too. So why not have fresh legs at running back and be able to do that, you know, game long?
Yeah, that's the thing about like football is it like one or two recruits is not a good team gonna make. You know what I mean? Like you need, I just said, you need like depth. You need two or three guys that are really good for a lot of different reasons. Like, you know, ideally they push all the other positions. Like if you have really good wide receivers, they make your defensive backs better. If you have a really good quarterback, it makes, you know, your defense better. And if you have two or three different really good quarterbacks, well, it makes everybody better because, you know, when they're all throwing, you're getting throwing reps from a really good quarterback, even though he may not be the starter. You know what I mean? There's a huge drop off between one and two, well, you know, like you have a guy, you know, throwing it 60 yards down the field and the other guy like can barely make it 30 yards. I know it's not really like that, but you see what I'm saying, you know?
Yeah.
It's like there's only so much good talent to for everybody to, you know, to deal with and to like learn from in practice, in scrimmages, just hanging around, like even just really good guys that push other guys to compete. You know what I mean? Like if the running back is really good, you're like, oh, I know I'm not that much better than the guy behind me, and I know he's really good. I know I'm really good, and there's like a competitive thing there because like football players and athletes are really competitive. So you want to put more there, and then there'll be like that natural motivation that the coaches don't have to work so hard to get these guys to do the right things and do good things. That's the ideal way to do it. This is like a small step, you know. You don't complain when you just get your first paycheck, right? You know, I'm not rich yet. I just got one paycheck. You know, you got to wait. You got to save it up, you know, earn some more. So this is just the first drop in the bucket. We're getting some talent in. That's the good news. And we're getting highly rated talent. That's even better news.
And I mean, I think we've had some people leave the program in the last 2 years, which has been kind of disappointing. There's been probably three or four key players from Akani's first recruiting class that have already left. And, you know, it's been kind of a disappointment, but it seems like every time we lose one of those guys, we seem to be getting a good transfer in. So maybe it offsets it. I mean, unfortunately, I think we're kind of thin at some positions. You know, we're definitely thin in the defensive backfield. That's going to be the biggest question with this team is the defensive backs, and are they going to let up 60-yard bombs every play like they did for most of the year, the last year, they've been doing that for, you know, about 5 years now, ever since the Ron Mendoza era. But you know, it's been the depth in the DB situation scares me like nothing else.
Yeah, that's connected to some of the things I'm talking about, right? You look at like, I hate to talk about Todd Dodge, but he still affects his program, right? Like, He didn't recruit that well, and even the good guys that he did recruit, like I think he was like, all right, he did like rookie NCAA 05 recruiting. He's like, all right, let me recruit all receivers. Anyway, so like they come in and like a whole lot of them left, like more than is normal. You know what I mean? I think Dan McCarney's cousin, who's a beat writer here in San Antonio, I think he told me his rule of thirds, and I suspect that he got this from his uncle, but it's something like, you know, like you just need like you want like half of your recruiting class to be there by the end. Like, you know, like a third of them are going to be really good. A third of them is going to be and a third of them are just going to leave, you know, they're going to drop off. And so you hope to like, in kind of like every year. So you kind of hope that the good ones stay around. Well, that didn't really happen from those few recruiting classes. We didn't have really good, really, really good, like the number that we needed that would normally carry over to like right now. And then you go through a coaching change where there's already going to be a transition. So you can't really blame Dan McCarney, the current coach, not the beat writer, for I realize that could be confusing, for bringing in like and for getting guys that are leaving. You know what I mean? Because like you really don't know, you don't get to thoroughly evaluate every single player, and there's no way to really project what this kid's gonna do once he becomes, you know, a collegiate athlete. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, so not to kill your point, but Dan McCarney's cousin is actually named Dan McCarney?
No, his nephew.
Oh, his nephew, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
That's just kind of weird. But
I think it was, anyways. I'm named after my uncle too, and that was because like for a second there we thought he was gonna die. But then he was like miraculously saved. So it was cool. I was like a baby. It was cool, but then now like I'm named after him, and it was like why? And then I have to explain it. Like, well, it all happened way back when. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do understand it, but yes, it is kind of weird.
Yeah, I totally killed the podcast.
That's all right. Let me just pull the podcast out of the ditch since it got derailed. No, what were we talking about? I forgot. Where were we? This all started on me kind of like throwing cold water on Darius Terrell coming to Texas. I don't want to be negative guy, but it's more like I just want to be realistic. You know what I mean? Like, I'm excited, but I don't expect him to come out there and, you know, and do like Michael Crabtree and stuff. You know what I mean?
Terrell could be great, or he could be Tyler Stafford part two. I mean,
yeah.
We really don't know. We might get a chance to find out this year. He's actually applying for a hardship waiver too. So
what's his we might reason? Find out.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know I read about it somewhere. Oh, his health of his grandmother is deteriorating, I guess.
Oh, jeez.
And so he has 3 years remaining, and he wants to start this year. And with the 3 years that, you know, he's got left, he's trying to get that hardship in, and it would be great to have him this year against the Sun Belt teams. But you know,
okay,
it might be next year.
I think it's pretty obvious, but you know, maybe you're just contrarian sports guy here and you just toss out some weirdness, but who would you rather get their hardship waiver, Reggie Pegram or Darius Terrell?
I think I would rather have Terrell right now. Yeah. Pegram's position's so loaded. You got five running backs there already. With the wide receivers, yeah, we've got a couple of good ones, but it can never hurt to have another good wide receiver, another good threat on that offense. So,
especially if he's good. And I don't even think he needs to lose a whole lot of weight. I think I'd be fine with him being 225 out there, you know, like just posting up in the end zone, just throwing it up to him, you know what I mean? And then like maybe he clears the way. Maybe he does play like a tight end out there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think it would hurt.
No. Okay, so that's it for transfer talk, I guess. I do want to do a nice little shout out to Carl Sheffield and the women's track team for winning the women's track title, the first since 2003. I think this podcast and this site has precious few references to any other sports aside from basketball and football. I do want to talk some lacrosse eventually, wink, wink, and some other sports. But, I don't want to do it because, like, I'm not in love with these sports. It's kind of hard for me to be like, yeah, so lacrosse, they're out there doing stuff. Club lacrosse.
I will, high five. I'll definitely give Carl Sheffield a shout-out. I mean, his team, he's been coaching here less than a year. Well, I guess he was a former assistant coach and he came back.
Right.
But he's been the head coach for less than a year, and they've already finished the runner-up in cross-country last year. They were the runner-up in the indoor track and field, and then they won the, I think it was the outdoor one this time, last week. So he's already had two second-place finishes and a first-place finish in about 9 months, which is pretty impressive. So, yeah, give a shout-out to the girls' track team and Coach Sheffield.
Good stuff there. You know, this shows how little research I do for this podcast, and I don't know like when exactly like all the other sports go into like full on Conference USA membership, but I'm guessing he's gonna be able to will be able to defend their title coming up, like right.
Yeah, all teams are coming back in July 2013 into Conference USA, so they'll definitely have have another year to defend their title.
Cool. So it defends his title. And then he gets to move on to greener pastures and more challenging competition out there in Conference USA. Okay. Moving on from track, you know, like I guess we're shoving that back into obscurity, at least on the podcast. And we're going to talk some basketball, at least a little bit of basketball. Apparently, Conference USA may be looking to move the tournament out of Memphis to Tulsa. What do you think of that? Tulsa's not that big. It's not that amazing to be at, but they just mostly don't want Memphis to have home court or something like that. I don't know. I don't really get the reasoning.
The rumor was they're mad at Memphis for going to the Big East.
Right.
And so they don't want Memphis or UCF or SMU or Houston hosting the basketball tournament. Basically, if you're leaving Conference USA, they don't want you hosting the tournament in any way, shape, or form. So it's kind of, hey, we're going to stick it to Memphis and try to see if we can get Tulsa to accept our bid for the tournament. I guess I was reading some of the Conference USA board today, and supposedly they had a tournament there in Tulsa like 2 years ago, and the attendance was absolutely horrible. But they said it was horrible because the Tulsa fan base was all pissed off at their coach or some stupid reason. So who actually knows? It's not going to affect North Texas in any way, shape, or form because this is just for next year.
Right.
And we're not in a conference for next basketball season. So it's not going to matter. Conference USA does a rotating tournament site. They're not like the Sun Belt that just keeps it at Hot Springs every year.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I wanted to get to, is that, like, what do you think about that? Do you like the rotating? You like the maybe, like, the tournament comes through? I don't know if they would do it, like, at the Super Pit. I think maybe would they do it, like, at American Airlines Center? And also, isn't that kind of, like, spiteful for them to be doing that? Like, hey, let's spite ourselves, you know, to whatever. I forget the phrase because I didn't have enough coffee, and I've been up since, like, 5. But, like, yeah, like, you know, like, they're like, hey, let's not have it at a place where we might get some money and some attendance, and, like, it's going to be on TV. You know, who wants to see conference tournament games with empty stands? So let's go to Tulsa, where nobody's going to care. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think it definitely hurts them. They have great attendance when they're in Memphis because all the Memphis fans show up. So Memphis wins the damn tournament every year anyways, so there's no reason why they shouldn't have it in Memphis this year. Memphis, like you said, they're either going to be playing in front of 20,000 in a packed stadium in Memphis, or they're going to be playing in front of 2,000 in Tulsa with a bunch of empty seats on ESPN.
Yeah, Memphis is going to win anyway.
Memphis is going to win anyway, so why does it matter?
Yeah.
But it's just... how do I feel about rotating sites? It doesn't matter. I guess I would like to see them, you know, kind of pick one site and go with it. I've heard a lot of people want New Orleans, and I actually think that'd be pretty good for us.
It'd probably be awesome for us.
Yeah, it's not super far away. You can fly there from Dallas, or you can drive. It's really not that bad for us either way. It'd be a great city to be able to hang out in for a couple days and do a tournament. I don't know if I want to hang out in Tulsa for 3 or 4 days. I've been there. I only live 2 hours away from there now. There's not really a whole lot to do out in Tulsa.
I think people in Tulsa don't want to hang out there for as long as they have to hang out.
I agree.
There. Yeah.
I think every person that lives in Tulsa says, why do I live in Tulsa? But, it's a good city, but there's just not a whole lot to do out there. And I think, you know, you got to pick like a New Orleans or maybe even a San Antonio. San Antonio would be a really good place to have it too. Of course, we're biased. We want it on this side, you know, Charlotte fans or East Carolina fans want it in Charlotte or, you know, somewhere over on that side of the U.S. We want it over here because we want to be able to get to it and bring as many fans as possible. So,
yeah, see, I don't know. Like, what if we did something like, you know, hey, we'll host it in Nashville or something. Or maybe even keep it in Memphis, you know? Like, yeah, Memphis is gone, but we're still going to host the tournament there.
Memphis is a great city, too. I could see that working. And then people on Conference USA board were talking about maybe, like, have it in, you know, a western side one time, like have it in San Antonio 1 year and then have it in Charlotte the next year.
I like that idea.
And then have it Dallas the next year and then have it in, you know, blah, blah, whatever side over there. So it goes back and forth every other year.
I liked it a lot.
That's not a bad idea either. But I personally think, you know, you pick one, you pick a city and you stick with it. And you just do it like you did every year, you know. Hot Springs has gotten better and better every year that we've been able to go there for the Sun Belt. Our fan base has grown every year being going there. People find their favorite hotels, find their favorite things to do there. Everything like that, they can set it up, they know how it works, and it just makes for an easier process.
Yeah, I do. I think I totally agree with that. I think it builds on itself. When you get, like, you know, you get good reviews, they're like, what's in Hot Springs? But then people come back and like, oh, it was awesome. We had a whole lot of fun. Like, maybe you should come next year. And the guy's like, well, all right, maybe I'll try it. So he tries it, and then he tells his friend. And, you know, then eventually everybody's in Hot Springs forever. I will say that I think it, as far as like a permanent site, I think New Orleans would be awesome, and you know, some of the like party cities. I think Dallas, like the city of Dallas. Like, I know it's because it's in the Conference USA headquarters, right? Aren't they located in Irving, right? So I think the argument could be made to have it like at American Airlines Center. You know, sometime in March, it'd be pretty awesome, or it'd be late February, wouldn't it?
Early March. Early March. Yeah. I don't know if I'd want to have it in the AAC. I mean, are we realistically going to fill up any portion of that? I mean,
I don't know. I mean, I think eventually that would be the goal, but I don't know where else you'd hold it. You know what I mean? Like, what other place has, like, everything? I don't think you'd hold it at the Super Pit. I don't think Denton is really, like, a destination-type city.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that's the thing, is the problem, I guess. You need, like, a venue that could hold, like, that could hold a conference tournament, and a city that could hold, you know, people coming, but I don't know. And there are, what, 14 possibly teams in this damn conference that we're joining? Yeah, so, you know, theoretically it's like 14 fan bases, even if it's like just a couple thousand each, it's like, you know, that's a significant fan base. I don't know.
I think if,
you know, City of Dallas Tourism Board or something could maybe make the case that, hey, Dallas would be an awesome city to host permanently the Conference USA basketball tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dallas as a city, like you said, would be it's a great place to have the tournament. I know we can bring a lot of fans there, but even North Texas, I don't know how much we're going to fill the AAC.
Right.
I mean, and I don't know. Sure, Tulsa will probably bring some fans. Rice might bring some fans. San Antonio might bring some fans. But other than that, I mean, is East Carolina going to bring many fans? Probably not. Is Marshall going to bring many fans? Probably not.
I will say that same argument can be made at any city, though. Like,
that's true. I agree.
Who's going to go to, you know, out to Tulsa anyway, even if it's going to be Tulsa in part of the rotation? Who's going to go out there? I don't know.
I think that was the nice thing with the Sun Belt playing in Hot Springs was, it was such a small arena that even if you only got 5,000 that showed up there, it looked like it was full.
Yeah.
So it looked better on TV. But, you know, either way, it doesn't really matter. I figured let's go to New Orleans or San Antonio. I'm down for either one of those.
Yeah, you're right. That's an argument and a situation to deal with in 2013. Well, speaking of potential conference members, I think last week we talked a little bit about UTSA. This week we'll talk a little bit about ODU. They're still on the fence officially. They had their board of visitors, I think it was called. That was weird. Basically, the gist of this whole thing, and there's like three articles, and I'll post these on the blog underneath the podcast. So if you're listening to the podcast and you're wondering where these links are, well, they are on the blog, on the post. I'm getting an echo in my ear now. Yeah. What was I trying to say? So ODU, basically, they're mulling their options that they had a decent enough squad to make the FCS playoffs, and if they notify the NCAA by June 1st, which is the deadline, that they want to do FBS football going forward, it may make them ineligible for the playoffs, where they did pretty decently, and they see themselves as national contenders again. Mm-hmm. What do we think about that? Do you care about Old Dominion at all?
I mean, I'll care about them more if they accept the CUSA invite. I personally, I said on the podcast a couple weeks ago that I would prefer ODU to be in CUSA. I think it's better than bringing up a Middle Tennessee or a Western or something like that. I think it's, You bring them in, they are like they've already got a top notch basketball program. They're starting football. They've sold out every single football game they've had for the last 3 years since they started in a, you know, it's a 20,000 seat stadium, but they can build it up. They can build it to 30,000 and still sell it out. So I think they're a great startup program. They bring the good market in, you know, Norfolk, Virginia. They bring that whole kind of Virginia market. I think they're a good travel companion for ECU and Charlotte and Marshall, and they just fit into the conference really, really well. So,
like, they're made for each other.
Yeah. So I hope they come. I really do. I hope they make up their damn mind here. every once in a while, and you know.
Well, apparently, yeah. Apparently, this guy, this he's like a beat writer for them, Chuck Landon. He tweeted, "Hey, look for ODU to accept Conference USA's offer." So they're, you know, they're looking to be a member. A member. And then, they have what, 25,000 students. They got $170 million endowment. We have, by comparison, about $100 million endowment. They were established in 1930 as the Norfolk Division of the College of William and Mary. And then they went through, like, five name changes somewhere in the history, kind of like we did. And, like, they were, like, Old Dominion College. They became a university in 1969. So in some ways, they're, like, similar. Yeah, you're right. They fit into the conference really well because I think UTSA started in 1969 as a university. You know, obviously, Old Dominion's been around since 1930. Good on them. What's up?
Another interesting thing in that article, or in this article that you're going to post about their meeting that they had on Monday, the athletic director at the University of Richmond, who is another school in their conference that they're in right now, says that Old Dominion, as I understand, is most likely to accept a bid to Conference USA. I think it's imminent from everything I've heard, and that they're going to accept it. So, you don't really know. ODU says that he was wrong and that his remarks are inaccurate, but
yeah,
smoke there's fire, and we figured that out, you know, from our own situation. That if multiple people are reporting that it's probably going to happen, then it's probably going to happen. So
I mean,
where it goes.
Yeah, like officially, like they met, they had the Board of Regents, they had a conversation about it, and you know, they said the pretty, you know, like they said, you know, nothing, basically. They're like, oh, we had a good conversation. It was really awesome, and definitely seems, you know, we're like, you know, looking forward to, you know, good things for the university, but we really need to weigh all our options and whatever, you know, that kind of stuff. But, you know, like you said, they wouldn't have this conversation, and we wouldn't be getting leaks, and we wouldn't be getting tweets if there wasn't something about to happen. So, yeah, there's Old Dominion talk. Okay, well, it looks like I'm getting a call. Hold on. It looks like that is, could it be? Yeah, it's my friend Bill Clinton. Yeah, President Bill Clinton. Hold on, let me see. Hey, how you been, buddy?
I've been great, Adam. Listen, it's a great, great time calling you. I love calling on your show. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. What you been up to?
Oh, nothing, actually. I got to tell you, listen, I need you to keep a secret.
Oh, yeah, sure, anything.
I was at the Spurs-Clippers game last night. I just need you not tell any of the ladies. I got a couple girls down here that be upset that I didn't call when I was, when I came to town. But
yeah,
you know,
man,
I trust you.
Yeah, anything. You know, I keep your secrets, man. You're in San Antonio. That's crazy. That's crazy.
That's right. But you better be careful, because also the Secret Service doesn't know I snuck out.
Oh, you're sneaking out again. You got to sneak by them.
Well, you know, look, they've been telling Hillary way too much. She's got too much power now.
Oh, really? Yeah, that must suck. So how'd you do that? How'd you manage to sneak out behind them?
Well, you know, I look a little different now. I've been going vegan. I'm a little skinnier so I can fit in a Batman costume.
That's awesome.
That's what I did. Listen, I know I saw, you know who taught me how to do this was W. George. George and I are actually pretty good friends because neither one of us do a whole lot. Well, actually, I take that back. I've been going around the world with my foundation. Do you know about the Clinton Foundation?
Yeah, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your foundation there?
Well, what I do is I go around the world, and I try to find the best-looking women around and I have them as my interns. So it's been doing great. I understand W has been hanging around his house in Dallas talking about supply-side economics and trickle-down, which is totally contrary to my beliefs. So we don't talk a whole lot, but that's apparently what he's been doing. We have an ex-president's club.
Really? That's awesome. Really.
Cool. I'm really glad Reagan's not in the club anymore, though.
Why is that? Why wouldn't you like Reagan in the club?
Kind of like, no, first of all, maybe? Those jelly beans will rot your teeth. Second, I got to tell you that you know, he created this whole new conservative movement. It's just outrageous.
It's kind of
why can't we just chill and be with the ladies all day?
I don't know. It seems like a great idea.
It's great. It's great. I love it. It's great. You know. Also, I have to say, I'm really disappointed in John Travolta. With this whole thing with the dudes, he played a great Bill Clinton, or Jack Stanton was his name. He was great, and he was an inspiration for me myself.
Yeah, so he inspired you to be like yourself a little bit. Is that what you're saying there?
Well, absolutely, Adam.
That's awesome. I guess, yeah. Wait, so you went to the Spurs game? You said
I was great. You know, Tim Duncan may be as old as my grandma, but he is playing better than, who is that, Blake Griffin? Blake, I don't even know his name. He dunks over a key. I don't even want to know.
Yeah, it's Blake Griffin. I think that's his special move. I think he unlocks it. If he hits like three shots in a row, then he could dunk over a key. I think that's how
Is that like NBA 2K12? Is that what you do?
I think so. I think you can unlock that. I haven't got that far yet in the game.
Well, I'll tell you what Tim Duncan does. He unlocks the playoffs for the Spurs. So yeah. I'm happy with that. You know, actually, I love San Antonio. Henry B. Gonzalez was a good campaign buddy of mine. I want to give a shout out to him and his family. Charlie Gonzalez taking over his seat. You know, I helped fundraise. He helped fundraise. He always had great looking girls down there.
That's awesome. What do you think about? We're talking about, you know, Conference USA talk there. Do you have any opinions on that? Are you sad to see North Texas leave Arkansas State there in the Sun Belt?
I love Texas, and I love it when Texas comes to Arkansas. Usually they brought their dance team. That was the main thing I liked about UNT, because, you know, Arkansas girls are not great. I had to import mine back when I was at Yale Law School. I brought my lovely Hillary Rodham with me. I'm going to be really upset. Hot Springs. I mean, that's where I was born there. I mean, I claim Hope. Hope is my little town, but I was born in Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Yeah, you know, special connection.
One. I've been getting old. I get my brain gets mixed up sometimes, one or the other. But I call them both home. But I didn't. Little Rock, you can take that racist town for yourself. I don't like that.
Not a big fan, huh?
No.
Oh, okay. So you like Hot Springs. You're a fan of the conference tournament being in Hot Springs, what you're saying.
I absolutely am, but I have to say that they're not going to get any attendance. I mean, there's not a lot of people there who care. But I heard something about Tulsa for CUSA. I got to say, first of all, I don't like tornadoes. Second of all, Oklahoma executes more people than Texas per capita. Third, I just don't like Oklahoma. I just never can win. You know, it's a state next to my home. But, I mean, there's a lot of good teams in the CUSA. Maybe not good teams, but there's a lot of teams.
Yeah, they're like 14 teams. Are you a fan of all this conference alignment, Mr. President?
You know, this is going crazy. You know, the Big 12 is the Big 5 now with A&M gone. You know, the CUSA, you lose SMU. Not really a big deal. They're just a bunch of crybabies. A bunch of conservative crybabies with their trust funds. I got to say, you know, conference realignment is crazy. It's all about the money. It's all about the money. It's not jumpstarting the economy.
So what do you think it should be about? I guess what, like the girls, I guess? I mean, it has to be about the money.
It should be about the girls.
It should be about the girls.
The ball and a little saxophone playing, too. I love the saxophone. I gotta say, I wish, you know, I should have been on here with my saxophone. It would have been great.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. Maybe next time you could join us with the saxophone.
Absolutely. That'd I'll call cool. you Arsenio.
Yeah, you can call me Arsenio, Mr. President. You're gonna be able to sneak by the Secret Service again, though?
It's going to be a little difficult. You know, I've been getting some text messages from them asking me where I am. I think they implanted a chip in me when I had to get my quadruple bypass. Sneaking out.
Yeah, that sucks. That must suck, Mr. President.
I got another secret for you. I don't want you to tell anybody.
All right.
Not really a vegan. I still go out there and I get, like, I'm in San Antonio. I love Whataburger. It's fantastic. If I ever sneak up to Fort Worth, I get my Kincaid's Burgers. Greatest burger on earth, them, and what's that other burger place I like in Forward? Love Burger. It's great. They have one in Denton. Little Five Guys. You know, don't tell Hillary's a little mad at me because she needs me for her political career. That's pretty much it.
That's it. She don't need you. When she's done with that, then she tells you to go to your room. Is that pretty much how it works?
That's right. She sends me to the couch most of the time. She threw a lamp at me a couple times. And you know what? She wouldn't even tell me that Osama was going to be killed. To be president of the United States, I should get my security briefings every day.
It sucks. Hard life you got there, Ms. Brown.
Nah, it's real hard life. It's really hard. But, you know, my office is in Harlem. It's great. I love Lenox and 125th Street. Love the Apollo Theater. I love the people. You know, I was the first black president.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. Yeah, that's
I heard Barack say he wanted to see how my dance moves were. I can tell you that he has no dancing like Bill. Okay.
No, maybe you guys have a little dance off in the president's club there that you got there.
Well, you know, yeah, the president club. Now W always comes in there and drinks all the beer and eats all the food, though.
Oh, it sucks.
Don't like W shows up. His dad's a really class act, though. I mean, I think he's really a closet liberal. He raised taxes. He was great. You know, but I can tell you, if you know, Newt, not a big fan of Newt either. But this isn't a politics show. Let's get back to some CUSA. I have to say that my first North Texas football game was against SMU.
Oh, so you would make the games. That's pretty cool. I didn't know that you were a North Texas fan.
I love, you know, Mean Green. I do the Mean Green Claw all the time. I love the jazz music, because remember, I played saxophone.
Baby. Oh, yeah, so I get it. You heard it's jazz, cool. Number one jazz program in the United States. You're like, all right, I got to be associated with that program. That's really awesome.
Absolutely, and I really like North Texas. You know, North Texas basketball is great. I have to say, though, I saw a game when they beat SMU back in 2006.
Yeah, way back then.
That was great. That was my first North Texas college game.
It's good to beat up on them trust funders over there at SMU, huh?
I can't tell you enough. Like, they make fun of me because I make about, you know, I'm sitting on about $100 million of my own money, but I grew up poor.
Yeah, do they make fun of you? That's messed up.
Because, you know, I'm not in the billionaires club. I'm not as cool as Romney. Romney's got this. Romney's got that. W had trust. Man, I'll tell you what, W had a trust fund. It was outrageous.
Yeah. Did he talk mess about you? Like, when you're there in the president's club, we kind of poke fun at you from not being a trust funder.
Here's another Democrat. He's poor. He's another poor Democrat. Like, Obama. Obama only had he was only worth a couple million before he went in.
Sounds rough, man. Like, why do you even go to that president's club? What is it?
Well, because the food's great. And they give me a helicopter.
Oh, well, yeah, that can't turn that down, right?
I love going in the helicopter because I get my binoculars when we go over to see the girls running down the Washington Mall.
Oh, okay. I think maybe, wouldn't there be like a better way to get girls, though, than maybe just doing that? How many? No? I guess I wouldn't know
if you ever tried, but if you pull up in Marine One, girls seem to like that a lot.
Maybe I had a try one day.
Yeah, you pull up in that Cadillac that the Secret Service calls the piece. It's not really that beastly. They tell people that it's really soft skin. You can blow it up. I wouldn't recommend it, though. It's not that well armored.
Okay. Well, hey, Mr. President, maybe you want to give a shout out to my friend Eitan Tepperman. He's down here in San Antonio also. I know he's a big Clinton fan. Yeah.
Maybe you want me to say hello to him? You want me to give him a call and bring him on?
Maybe. Would you do that?
Yeah, hold on. Let me give him a call here.
All right, sure. Take your time.
Eitan, is that you? Bill, what's going on, man? You're not calling me? I can't call you when, you know, you're going to tell all those girls, because I know you've been seeing a bunch of them. Bill, calm down now, all right? You know, it's cool. Let's be cool. So I hear you're big North Texas. Hey, Tom, you didn't know you were a fan. You didn't know I was a fan of North Texas? So, Adam, I see you got to talk to Bill a little bit.
Yeah, I did. Did he hang up? I think maybe you lost him. I lost him.
I'm about to go. Oh, no, I'm getting a text from the Secret Service. They're hitting me up on my Find the Prez app. Well, hey, it was great talking to y'all. Eitan, you take over for me. Adam, great guy. I love it. I'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks, Mr. President.
No problem. See you, Bill. All right. So, Adam, you know, I see you got to talk to Bill. You know, he's kind of elusive.
Yeah, he is kind of. He likes to talk a little bit, but it's kind of an honor. How does he have your number?
Well, man, that's kind of a top secret classified issue. You know, how do you have Bill's number?
I can't really talk about it either.
Exactly. You know, I don't want to be like next Vince Foster. You know, just found with a gun to my head and found like a suicide note, but it really wasn't a suicide. The bullet hole was on the other side of where the gun was. Just kidding. Yeah. But, I actually, this is not the first, I've gotten calls from the Secret Service before asking me if I know where Bill went.
Really? They're like, hey, where's President Clinton? Do you know?
Well, I told him to go check last time, man. He was over at Cowboys Cowboys, you know.
Really? Over here in San Antonio?
Over here in San Antonio, yeah, because they're just such good-looking girls.
Oh, President Clinton.
You know, but, Adam, so stick to North Texas. Listen, I know that you don't know a whole lot about lacrosse.
No, I don't.
So, North Texas plays club. Men's Collegiate Lacrosse Association. It's a 200-team club around the country. I don't mean to talk poorly about our team right now. They're in a rebuilding phase.
Rebuilding phase.
Yeah, you know, lost a great coach who was there for 11, 12 years, I believe. Carl Lynch, a good friend of mine, actually. I worked for him. He's an attorney. I work for him, and I still have good relations with him. And he helps me with my law school stuff. And great guy. He's over coaching at SMU now. I can tell you a little bit about SMU lacrosse just because they're a bunch of trust fund kids who don't listen. I saw them play, and he's calling plays, and he's telling them exactly what they need to do, but they run it the way they want to run it.
Oh.
You know, that's blue collar SMUs. Texas, you know, we listen because we had to, you know.
You didn't have a trust fund to fall back on?
That's right.
So you played club lacrosse. And
yeah,
how many years?
I played for 4 years in North Texas. I grew up in Baltimore. I moved to San Antonio when I was 16, but I played lacrosse in Baltimore and I loved it. The NCAA playoffs are going on and you can catch it on ESPN, ESPN2, and ESPNU. I think all those channels kind of cover it. And then next week, not this coming weekend, the next weekend, I believe, whenever Memorial Day weekend is, that's the Final Four.
Is it like in 2 weeks or something like that?
Yeah, it's in 2 weeks. This weekend's going to be the quarterfinals. Yeah, because they do a first round and quarterfinals. I don't even know what the brackets look like. It's tough for me. I'm kind of poor. I got rid of my cable, so I don't watch it. So when I'm in San Antonio, I'll probably watch it with my dad. But
was he into lacrosse?
He got into it when I started playing. He really liked it. I mean, he didn't have it. He grew up in New Jersey. I think the town over had lacrosse. You remember seeing the, you know, lacrosse ball, the hard rubber ball, you know, whatever. And
right.
And I think it was the rich kids on the town over used to play.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, lacrosse is like a reputation of being like a rich kid sport, right? Or like an affluent sport.
It is. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but it's also the unfortunate truth. You know, it's unfortunate that people think that of lacrosse. At the same time, it's unfortunate that that is kind of sort of the reality of it.
So how long do you think until, like, North Texas, you know?
As an NCAA team?
Yeah. Is that way far off in the future?
I can tell you the teams. I can't tell you when that will happen. I can't tell you, you know, but I can tell you when. I can tell you that certain teams have a better chance of it. I believe even on ESPN Dallas, SMU was quoted, you know, their athletic director was quoted as being interested in a lacrosse program.
No.
Going to the Big East. I don't know. Let's see. They're going to the Big East. I don't follow. You know, I'm in law school, so I don't follow anything other than a law book. Law book. So, but is Syracuse? They left the Big East, right?
Yeah.
Well,
they're leaving.
They're leaving the Big East. Well, you look at teams like Syracuse, that's known for being good at basketball, but they've also now not this year. They kind of. They lost the first round of the playoffs, but they're tied with Hopkins for the most championship games in NCAA history for lacrosse.
Yeah, it's like every good lacrosse team is like a Northeast school team, right?
No. Right, and I think, you know, you look at SMU. SMU has every potential of being a great program because kids do not, like Syracuse is falling off because lacrosse is slowly building. Like Michigan has a team.
Oh, yeah.
First year, they were part of our club, and they always won. Every year, they won the championships. This year, they're part of the NCAA. You had teams like Notre Dame that's been very good for the last 6-7 years. Denver. We're talking about teams not on the Eastern Seaboard. Ohio.
So it's like spreading westward?
Yeah, it's spreading westward. And
like
and lacrosse
doing some manifest destiny Florida. Over there.
Yeah, that's right. Jacksonville, Florida, which is a big deal because, you know, we all know about Duke.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we know a little bit about Duke, and I'm unfortunate because I think that was, prosecutorial misconduct, but that's another story. Going that far south is a big deal, too. I mean, North Carolina, the only lacrosse in North Carolina is the colleges there that I know of. I mean, I'm sure, you know, I can't say that. I can't say, speak generally like that because you can't say there's no anything anywhere, but
There's always little pockets here and there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, but with that kind of... So, what's going to happen, what's going to start happening is people are not going to want to go to those small schools anymore. They're going to want to go to cool schools where it's cool to be, you know, like big state schools.
Yeah.
You know, if SMU is not a big state school, but it's also more of a fun place to be than Syracuse, New York.
Yeah. And it's like you know, we talk about this all the time, like basketball and football and stuff. Like, if it's a little bit closer and maybe you don't, like, the guy that's on the fence, he's good at lacrosse, but, you know, he doesn't want to go all the way to the East Coast and play at, like, James Madison or something like that. Right. He's like, well, hey, there's an SMU team right here. Let me just stay close, stay in Texas, and play some lacrosse, sport I love, and be a douchebag, I guess.
Hey, you know, you're not going to get much argument with me on that. On the douchebaggery of it.
Well, all right then, man. We're running up like in an hour now. This total podcast, and we had complications. So yeah, thanks for joining. And you're gonna be doing some, like, when you can, some lacrosse, like, nuggets for the blog then, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I keep talking about it. I've been talking about it for about 3 years now. I've done, you know, I've written lacrosse stuff before for a magazine because I had a deadline. and I've, you know, I write a lot, so I like to try to contribute as much as I can. I just need to sit down and just strap down and focus on it, you know?
Yeah, I know exactly how you feel, man. I feel the same way about stuff I like, you know. About everything I like, but yeah, thanks for joining the podcast. No problem.
Thanks for having me, and also, you know, let me know. I'd love to come back, and maybe we can find Bill again.
Oh yeah, because he's always you never know where you're gonna find him. He's always doing crazy stuff.
I've got all kinds of friends from all over the world too. So if you want them to come in,
that's cool. Yeah, hey, more the merrier, man. It's so crazy how many people you know, famous people you know that. Like, have a, you know, connection to North Texas. It's great.
You know, everybody famous I know has a little connection to North Texas. If not, I'll make sure they do.
That's cool. All right, so thanks for joining the podcast.
No, madam, thanks for having me.
All right, so that does it for the podcast. Once again, you can find us all over. You can find us on iTunes especially, and once you find us there, leave us a review after you subscribe and tell all your friends and your mom and your dad about it. Father's Day is coming up. Why not subscribe for him? I don't know what you do. You can't buy it from him. So that's weird. That was an awkward sign off. But
we're,
yeah,
awesome, so do it.
There you go. That's a better endorsement. I'm Adam, and co-host is...
Tony.
And, of course, we want to thank our friend Bill Clinton for joining us.
Y'all, I had a great time being here. Just as a final note, I think that the COSA championship should be in Hot Springs because that is where I'm from. It's great. I appreciate everybody having me here. Don't tell the ladies I've been on here because I got a couple girls around town who'll be upset knowing I didn't call them. But thank y'all very much.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, we wouldn't want to upset the ladies. We wouldn't want to make up for you, Mr. President. So yeah, once again, this has been the Mean Green Nation podcast. I'm your host, Adam. You can find me on Twitter at AztecSkin or Mean Green Nation. And you can find Tony at
DFCN4103.
Alright, and that'll do it.
Later. Walking threat. So when I'm on stage, I want quiet on the set.